Shalom, Saints, and thank you for joining us for our Searching the Scriptures episode. Each Thursday, we gather with the expectation that Jehovah is going to meet with us here. And so I want you to grab something to write with, grab something to write on, and of course, grab your Bible and prepare yourself for some inspirational teachings, quotes you can use, and of course, the truth that set men free. So stay tuned for Searching the Scriptures. Shalom, I'm Arthur Bailey, Chancellor of the Accredited Hebrew Roots University. Hebrew Roots University is the world's first and only accredited theological university that approaches scripture from a Messianic Hebrew Roots perspective. At Hebrew Roots University, you can earn an accredited associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctorate degree in several disciplines. I'm ecstatic to announce our Laborers Grant available to all HRU students. Our new Laborers Grant enables us to eliminate the $50 application fee and cover 50% of tuition costs across all degree programs, removing additional financial barriers and making our tuition even more affordable to all students. There are no prerequisites or pre-qualifications required. Simply apply, and the grant would be automatically applied to your account. All students that apply today will be given a Laborers Grant, which will cover 50% off all tuition costs and will be automatically awarded for each term the student is enrolled. You can apply now. If you have any questions at any time during the application process, please do not hesitate to reach out to our admissions team using the Have Questions section at the bottom of our website. The implementation of our new Laborers Grant will provide access to as many people as possible from all nations worldwide who are desirous of higher education in ministry and becoming laborers in the end-time harvest of the kingdom. Here at Hebrew Roots University, we are dedicated to our mission to teach the true gospel of the kingdom, the gospel Yeshua taught, to people of all nations, and to eradicate biblical illiteracy worldwide. We look forward to walking with you on this exciting journey, so check us out now at HebrewRootsUniversity.com. That's HebrewRootsUniversity.com. Don't wait. Take advantage of our new Laborers Grant, so apply now. HebrewRootsUniversity.com. Thank you. Shalom. Shalom, saints. The last thing Yeshua said to his disciples before he ascended was, "Go and make disciples of all nations." This command is known as the Great Commission. Our ministries have taken this commission very seriously and developed a discipleship training program that will change the way discipleship has been done up to now. Most discipleship training programs are denominational in their approach and is doing exactly what the Pharisees and Sadducees did in the days of Yeshua. Yeshua said, "You search the world over to find one proselyte, and you make them twice the son of hell as they were before you found them." The vision of Arthur Bailey Ministries and House of Israel is to be a worshiping people, an evangelistic community, a discipleship center, an equipping network, and a worldwide witness for Yeshua, the Messiah. In fulfillment of the Great Commission, we've developed Discipleship101.tv. Discipleship101.tv is a two-year seminary-level discipleship training program that takes a messianic Hebrew roots approach to the scriptures. Now that we've completed this program, we are making it available to people around the world for free. We now have the opportunity to get it into every federal and state prison library and libraries around the nation. We also have the potential for getting this program accredited in universities and Bible colleges around the country. Now here's where we need your help. We need you to stand with us at the $1,500 level to help us get these workbooks printed and DVDs printed and duplicated in order to get them placed in prison libraries around the nation. For your help, we want to bless you with all of the workbooks and DVDs for each class as a thank you for helping us get this valuable information out. For your partnership, you will get all 8 workbooks and all of the DVDs by partnering with us today at the $1,500 level. Thank you in advance for helping us get this valuable, extensive, messianic Hebrews discipleship training program to the nations of the world. By doing so, we're doing exactly what Yeshua said to do when he commissioned us to make disciples of the nation. Join us in this most important mission of making disciples of the nation by partnering with us today at the $1,500 level. You can partner with us at this level by sending your partnership check or money order to House of Israel. If you would like to pledge your partnership with us and make payments, please do so on our website at www.arthurbaileyministries.com. Just let us know you would like to make a pledge and make payments. Please help us get this material published so it can be placed in prison libraries and libraries around the nation. Partner with us today at the $1,500 level. Thank you.
House of Israel International Services are held weekly at 3601 Rose Lake Drive, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28217, 11 a.m. Saturday mornings and 7 p.m. Thursday evenings, Eastern Time. This live broadcast is made possible through financial contributions from brothers and sisters like you. Your financial support is greatly appreciated. Thank you. Motivating. Inspiring, challenging, encouraging, deepening, strengthening, and enhancing your faith. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to House of Israel International's live worship service.
Well, welcome everyone to House of Israel, to our service this evening, and shalom on this blessed day. Today we have a nice message entitled, An Oath with a Prostitute. And you may be wondering, what kind of message is that? Well, stay tuned, because it's a good one. We'll be continuing our verse-by-verse study in the book of Joshua. Tonight we'll be in Joshua chapter 2, covering verses 1 through 24. If you know the story, you know Joshua secretly sends 2 spies to spy out Jericho. The city is surrounded by walls, a guarded gate, and the spies entered the city, yet ended up in a prostitute's house. The king was notified, and he immediately sent messengers to apprehend them. So stay tuned for what happens next. At the end of today's teaching, you'll be given an opportunity to give of your tithes and of your offerings. Also, if you go to arthurbaileyministries.com in our chat session, you'll be able to ask questions, give testimonies, and request prayer which we'll cover at the end of the teaching. We encourage you to subscribe on that same website so you can get notifications of our teaching and teaching titles. We're also on YouTube, Facebook, and TikTok, and other social media sites as well. Let us pray. Most wonderful and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful opportunity to come before you this evening to hear your word. Thank you for all you've done for raising us up today to enjoy your wonderful creation. Heavenly Father, thank you also for the healing that you've given us for our bodies to heal us fully and completely, and the ability to get rid of the woes from the evil one. Father, we also ask that you cleanse us from our sins. Thank you so much, Heavenly Father. And as your word goes forth tonight and henceforth, Father, we hope that we ask that it reaches the ends of the earth. As you raise up saints that you have reserved, Father, appoint them, send them to carry out your word and all your word to everyone so that the end may come. And Heavenly Father, we ask that your spirit rest upon Apostle tonight, especially when it comes time for questions, Father. Give him your insight directly, your word, so that he can clearly articulate everything that needs to be said. And Father, we ask these things in the name of your Son, Yeshua. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, to bring us the message, an oath with a prostitute, Apostle Arthur Bailey.
Thank you, Minister Sean. Well, shalom, saints. Greetings to all of you, those of you here, those of you who are joining us online. We certainly appreciate you joining with us tonight as we continue on in our verse-by-verse study in Joshua. Now, we've already done Joshua, the introduction, and last week we did the first chapter of Joshua. This week we will continue in the second chapter, and we'll be looking at verses 1 through 24. And as always, make sure you grab something to write with and something to write on and take some really good notes. There's a lot here that we're going to share with you tonight. And at the end of our teaching, you're going to be given an opportunity to ask questions. If you need prayer, we're going to pray for you. And then we're going to give you an opportunity to give. Our mission statement, restoring the Hebrew roots to the Christian and Jewish faiths. The vision of House of Israel is to be a worshiping people, an evangelistic community, a discipleship center, an equipping network, and a worldwide witness for Yeshua the Messiah. And as you can see with this vision statement, we have verses, passages that you can look at that comes from the Word, which is where our vision comes from. Our declaration for Jehovah's blessings, I declare, this is my season for peace, power, promises, and prosperity. I declare the peace of Jehovah in my life and in my body. I declare the power of Jehovah to manifest fully in my life. I declare the promises of Jehovah fulfilled in my life. I declare the prosperity of Jehovah to permeate every area of my life. And I declare I will walk in obedience to Jehovah every day of my life. Father, again, we are in your presence together with one another, and we welcome your presence in this place. We thank you for watching over us, for keeping us. We thank you for your protection, for your provisions, and all that you do for us. We confess our weaknesses, our shortcomings, our faults, our sins. We ask that you forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, create in us clean hearts, and renew the right spirit. We pray, Father, that you continue and consistently give us eyes to see so that when we approach your word, we see what is actually there in front of us. We ask that you give us ears to hear so that when you reveal yourself, when you speak to us, we have the capacity to hear your voice. And then, Father, as you reveal to us these things that you will have us to know and speak to us those things that you will say to us, give us the ability to comprehend and show us how to appropriately appropriate your word into our daily lives. We thank you for all that you have done, for all that you are doing, and for all that you are going to do. We thank you for the plan that you have for us, and we pray for the revelation of that plan so that we may grab a hold of it and run with it. And may you be glorified in this place tonight and in our lives always, in Yeshua's name. Amen. So tonight, the message is an oath with a prostitute. We're going to look at some verses, especially the Torah portions, where this issue with prostitutes are given. And we know that Father has an issue with prostitution. However, Joshua is sending out his spies in this case, he's sending out two spies to go and to spy out the land and also to focus on Jericho. So the spies end up in Jericho, and according to verse number one, it says, "And Joshua the son of Nun sent spies, sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, 'Go view the land, even Jericho.' And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there." Now, it's interesting with everything that the Almighty has spoken about harlotry and whoredoms and prostitution, that the spies that Joshua sent out ends up at a prostitute or a harlot's house. The passage revealed, and these 24 verses that we're going to look at, they reveal certain things about this particular person called Rahab. One, it opens up letting us know that Rahab is a prostitute before we know her name. For it says, they went and came into a harlot's house, letting us know that they entered into a harlot's house before revealing who the name of that harlot was. So she was a prostitute. Rahab was possibly a businesswoman, and we're going to see that by what the Bible or what these verses refer to when it comes to her house. One, we see in verse one, they lodged there. So it could have been a hotel, it could have been a brothel, it could have been a place where individuals came and spent the night. We don't necessarily know, but we do know that they entered in and they lodged there. Rahab's father, mother, sister, and brothers lived in the same city. We're going to see that as we go through this passage. And not only did they live in the same city, but Rahab was concerned about her family being saved. Now, we see all of these things in this passage concerning Rahab. And I don't know about you, but I know in our custom, it's an embarrassment for a daughter to prostitute herself. And it was against the law of Jehovah for men to make their daughters prostitutes. And so, are we there yet? Good. And so it was certainly something that was not looked upon in a positive way. And yet, regardless to how Rahab's family may have looked at her, she was concerned about them. Rahab not only was a prostitute, but and possibly a businesswoman, but she certainly was a negotiator, because we're going to see her negotiate some terms that is not only going to save her life, but is going to save the life of her family. We see in this passage that Rahab was a risk taker, because she's certainly going to defy the decree of the king in order to preserve her and her family's life, putting her in danger. Rahab feared the God of Israel, and she's going to express this God of Israel, her fear for this God of Israel, and she believed him. She believed him. There was evidence that had gone out as Jehovah had indicated that he was going to put the fear of Israel in the hearts of the nation, And the fear of Israel was in the heart of the nations, as we're going to see, especially here in Jericho, because what Jehovah did caused Rahab, if no one else, and apparently the king and others who were concerned about this, to believe that Jehovah would do what he said he would do. Rahab confessed faith in Jehovah, and we're going to see that in this particular passage, that she became a believer, even though she was of the nation outside of Israel, that she became a believer in the God of Israel. Now, this first word we're going to look at is harlot. This word harlot, zanah, it carries over into the New Testament as well as it is in the Old Testament, one who commits fornication. So it's not just one who prostitutes oneself, but one who commits fornication. They can be a harlot or they can play the harlot. In other words, they can live the lifestyle of a harlot or they could temporarily operate as a harlot. To be a harlot, to act as a harlot, to commit fornication, to commit adultery, to be a cult prostitute, to be unfaithful to God. So all of these words are associated with this Hebrew word zanah, which we get the English word harlot from. And it could mean to force one into prostitution, and ultimately it's to commit fornication in its varied forms. The way it's used is harlot 36 times, one who goes a whoring, whoredom, a whore, commit fornication, being whorish. All of these words is associated with this word harlot. The other thing is that Rahab, the name Rahab, is a harlot of Jericho who aided the spies to escape. Now, this name means in the Hebrew, one who is wide, whatever that means. Could mean big-boned, it could mean wide-body, could mean a number of things. We just see that the word means wide. And we're going to see that this Rahab is also a person who married Salmon, an ancestor of David and of Messiah, and that she is commended for her faith in the book of James, and she's actually going to be mentioned in the book of Hebrews and in the book of Matthew in the New Testament writings. Now, interesting, the nations of the world around Israel permitted prostitution and whoredom, but it was forbidden for Israel. Whoredom is first mentioned in relations to Judah before Israel becomes a nation, and we find this in Genesis 38, verses 24. It reads, "And it came to pass about 3 months after that it was told Judah, saying, Tamar, thy daughter-in-law, has played the harlot, and also she is with child by whoredom. And Judah said, bring her forth and let her be burnt." Now, the backstory here is that Judah is the one who has impregnated her, perceiving that she was a harlot, and because he had not allowed his son to marry her after two of his sons had married her and died. So Judah withheld his third son from her for fearing that he would die in Tamar's marriage relationship. And then he goes out to look for a prostitute, and Tamar dressed herself as a prostitute. He ends up sleeping with her, and she becomes pregnant by her father-in-law. In verse 25, it says, "When she was brought forth, she sent to her father-in-law, saying, by the man whose these are, am I with child? And she said, discern, I pray thee, whose are these, the signet and bracelets and staff?" And this is what she had talked off of Judah in exchange for having sex with her. And Judah acknowledged them and said, "She has been more righteous than I." Now, it's something when you associate righteousness with someone who's played the harlot. But in this particular case, Judah acknowledges that she was righteous because he did not give Shelah his son, and he didn't have relationship with her anymore. So because Judah did not do what it appeared he was supposed to have done, then she now was able to get him to impregnate her, and therefore her offsprings became her husband's father. Her offspring came from her husband, not her husband's brother, which she was entitled to, but from her husband's father. Prostitutes were forbidden in Israel. Having sex before marriage was in the same category of a harlot, aka a prostitute. Hebrew fathers were forbidden to let their daughters become harlots. In Leviticus 19:29, it says, "Do not prostitute thy daughter to cause her to be a whore, lest the land fall to whoredom, and the land become full of wickedness." Now, a whore doesn't have relationships with herself. There's someone engaged in the relationship, and typically it's a man, and that's where whoredom comes in. Prostitute, in this particular state, this word, halel, to profane, to foul, pollute, desecrate, and this is to profane one's self. The usage is to begin, profane, pollute, defile, break, wounded. All of these words is associated as well as prostitute. It's a different word than zina. The word whore, and here it is, zina, to commit fornication, be a harlot, play the harlot, to be a harlot, act as a harlot, commit fornication, as we've seen. Priests were forbidden to marry whores or prostitutes. Leviticus 21:7. They shall not take a wife that is a whore or profane, neither shall they take a woman put away from her husband, for he is holy unto his God. And when you associate with the priest, all of Israel is supposed to be holy. So none of the Israelites should be engaged in relationships with a whore or prostitute. The daughters of priests who became prostitutes were to be burned by fire. And we know that when Tamar, it was made known to Judah that she was pregnant, that she had played the harlot, he was going to have her burned with fire. Here in Leviticus 21:9, it says, "And the daughter of any priest, if she profane herself by playing the whore, she profaneth her father. She shall be burnt with fire." So what a daughter does with her body affects her father. You see, the father is now looked upon by the behavior not only of the daughters, but also of the sons. And so the fathers was responsible for teaching their sons and their daughters the commandments, the law of Jehovah. Laws, these two spies who go into Jericho should be fully aware of. Israelites who married a woman that claimed to be a virgin were released from their vows if the woman was a fornicator, and then that person who was a fornicator were considered whores, and then they were stoned to death. Deuteronomy 22:20. But if this thing be true, this man, he now has an issue with the woman that he married. He claims that she is not who she say she was. She claimed to be a virgin. She wasn't. And then the father and the mother were supposed to bring the tokens of her virginity, which we know was the cloth in which they consummated their marriage on. And in verse 20, it says, "But if this thing be true, and the tokens of virginity be not found for the damsel," if there's no proof this woman was a virgin when she got married, "then they shall bring out the damsel to the door of her father's house, and the men of her city shall stone her with stones that she die, because she has wrought folly in Israel to play the whore in her father's house. So shalt thou put evil away from among you." Now, I would I would dare say that the woman who played the whore in her father's house did not bring somebody in her father's house and have sex with her. But she lived with her father and had sex with someone wherever she had sex with outside of the house. So sometimes people think that if they don't bring their sin home, if they don't do or commit their act in their dad's house, then it's not affecting the dad. But the fact of the matter is that one's behavior in or outside the house, as long as they live in the house, affects the household. Whores were forbidden in Israel. There shall be, Deuteronomy 23:17, there shall be no whore of the daughters of Israel, nor a sodomite of the sons of Israel. The money from prostitutions was not to be accepted. The money from prostitution was not to be accepted. Deuteronomy 23:18. Thou shalt not bring the hire of a whore or the price of a dog into the house of Jehovah thy God for any vow. For even both these are abomination unto Jehovah thy God. So, Rahab was a harlot. Now, it's not uncommon for men to go into a harlot's house. That's where they do their harlotry. The spies were reserved by a prostitute. Rahab's act of preservation led to her becoming a prominent figure amongst the Israelites. And Rahab, we're going to see, is mentioned four times in the New Testament. Once as Rahab and three times as Rahab. So, first we see Rahab is going to marry an Israelite, and she became the wife of Salmon and mother of Boaz, the husband of Ruth, the Moabite. Rahab is in the genealogy of Yeshua in Matthew. Matthew 1:5, it says, and Simon begat Boaz, or Booz here, Boaz, of Rahab, and Boaz begat Obed of Ruth, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse became the father of who? King David. Rahab is mentioned as a woman of faith in Hebrews 11. It's amazing how a prostitute can be a woman of faith. Hebrews 11:31. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. So we see that she was considered a woman of faith. James wrote about Rahab in comparison to Abraham's works. James 2:23. And the scripture was fulfilled which said, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only? Likewise, also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. And so Rahab's action, her quick thinking, not only saved her, but it saved her family. Now we get some backstory. Fornication, prostitution, harlotry, adultery, and whoredoms are the activities of whores and whoremongers. Those who engage in those things will end up in the lake of fire, according to Revelation 21:7. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. So we see this salvation that we enter into is something that has to be endured, and those who overcome shall inherit all things. Verse 8, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And so we're going to see here in this passage that there are those who believe God. There are people who believe in God, but don't do what God say. And then there are people who believe him. And these are the ones who demonstrate fear. So one could have faith in him and not believe him. One can be a hearer of the word and not a doer of the word. And the difference between a hearer and the word and a doer of the word is one who believes in him but don't believe him. A doer of the word is one who believes what he say because they believe him. Verse 1 again. And Joshua the son of Nun sent out Shittim, two men, to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into a harlot's house named Rahab. And what did they do? Lodged there. Now, this word lodge, shakab, means to lie down, to lie on, to lodge, to lie of sexual relations. And it makes one wonder, did they go into the city and while they were checking out the land, they decided to check something else out? We don't know. But out of all the houses in Jericho, and this was not a house near the gate, they worked their way through the city to get to this house. Because we're going to see that the house is on the wall. All right? And so here they are at the harlot's house lodging. The usage there is to lie, to sleep, to lie down, to rest, to lean. It was a possible hotel, maybe a brothel. And what it says to me, if they end up there to lodge, then it wasn't an uncomfortable situation. It wasn't an uncommon, let me say it that way, situation. The spies were spotted when they went into Jericho at night and reported to the king of Jericho. So the men of Jericho, and here's a thing that really is fascinating when you think about it. The men of Jericho were on the lookout and expecting an attack from the Israelites. And therefore, as soon as they were spotted, it was reported. Now, with people coming in and out of the city, these two individuals stood out. And not only did they stand out, but whoever saw them followed them. And they followed them to Rahab's house. And once they knew where they were at, they sent message to the king. And the king sent message back to apprehend them. Verse 2. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel. So they recognized these men were from the children of Israel. And we know why they've come, because they've come to search out the country. Well, how do they know these things? Because they had heard some stuff. They heard it in the grapevine or whatever vine or whatever means by which information traveled those days. They heard some stuff, and you would say they were on full alert. The king wanted to apprehend the spies, knowing their mission. Verse 3, and the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, bring forth the man or the men that are come to thee, which are entered into your house. We know they went in your house. Bring them out. For they be come to search out all the country. And the question is how did they know that? Because, see, again, they have heard some things. Rahab hid the spies and defied the king's order and lied. Verse 4. And the woman took the two men and hid them and said thus, there came men unto me. Yep, that's true. But I don't know who they were. Not true. And it came to pass about the time of the shutting of the gate, it was dark, that the men went out. Not true. Whether the men went, I don't know. not true. Pursue after them quickly, for you shall overtake them. No, you won't. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house and hid them. And notice what she hid them with. She hid them with the stalks of flax. Now, I don't know why they wanted us to know that, but Joshua included that they were hidden with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. Now, you have to envision what is stalks of flax laid in order on the roof for. First of all, what is flax? Well, flax is a plant where the linen is produced from. It is a fiber used as material for garments. And so what I did is I pulled up some images of flax in a field to give you an idea of what it looks like before it's harvested. And then once it's harvested, tied into sheaves and laid out to dry, this is the processing process to prepare it in order for it to be turned into clothes. And some very fine clothes come from this. If you have linen garment, I have a linen shirt on. This is made from this material, believe it or not. And here is an image of how flax comes from seed through the various processes for it to become linen. From flax to linen. Now, Rahab may have made her own clothes from the flax, or she could have sold flax. We don't know, but she had enough to hide the spies with, and then she sent the men to pursue the spies that she had hidden. Joshua 2:7. And the men pursued after them the way to Jordan, unto the fords. And so, looking at the proximity, the location of where Jericho was, and according to a map, is somewhere between 4 and 5 miles from the Jordan, and looking at where it is and what direction, being there, you would know which direction the men went. And as soon as they, which pursued after them, were going out, they shut the gate. So now the gate is shut. Everything in stays in. Everything out stays out. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof. Now understand that when you're out there in the wilderness and you're checking out the land, there comes a time when you have to lay your head, and typically the best time to do that is when? At night. So had they not been in this city, maybe in another city or in the woods, wherever they were, they would have needed to lie down, to go to sleep. And so here they were lodged in her house, but before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof, and the negotiation ensues. Rahab revealed the fear of Jehovah, and the Israelites had caused the heart of the men of Jericho to faint, and that Jehovah had given Jericho to Israel and the exploits of Israel. So how does she know this? See, here's the thing. That before Israel went, the exploits of Israel from Egypt, the crossing of the Red Sea, to on the other side of the Jordan when they took Sihon and the other king, Sihon and Og, and that land became the half-tribe of Manasseh. It became the tribe of, who was it, Reuben, and another, Dan, Gad. And she said unto the men, this is what she said, I know that Jehovah has given you the land. How does she know that? And that your terror is fallen upon us. and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. In other words, we have been here shuddering. We're scared to death. We know you're coming, and we're scared, is what she's saying. Why? See, Jehovah put the dread of fear, or the fear of Israel, in the hearts of the nation back in Deuteronomy. Even before that, and we're going to see that here in a moment. Deuteronomy 2:25 says this: "This day will I begin to put the dread of thee and the fear of thee upon the nations that are under the whole heaven." Now, this to me is powerful, because what Jehovah is saying is that because I am your God and you are my people, remember in Deuteronomy, he says that these commandments, if you diligently hearken to obey all of these commandments, I'm going to rise you up above all the nations. You'll be raised above all nations. You'll be the head, you won't be the tail. Above only, never beneath. He has put the fear of his people in the hearts of the whole world under heaven. They shall hear reports of you. And what are they going to do? They're going to tremble. They're going to be in anguish because of you. They know that when you come, I'm with you. And they're afraid of you because I am with you. Now, I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, we need to embrace the fact that if he is for you, he is more than the world against you. When you know Jehovah is for you, what do you have to fear? I remember the words of an old Englishman. I guess he was English. Those of you who remember Winston Churchill, what did he say? Was it him who said, "There's nothing to fear"? Was that him or somebody else? Roosevelt, Teddy Roosevelt. That was, yeah, "There's nothing to fear except what? Fear itself." No, it was one of them old guys. "There is nothing to fear but fear itself." And this should be the mantra of the believers. The only thing that we have to fear is the fear of Jehovah. The fear of Jehovah is referencing him. And here's the thing about the fear of Jehovah. You can't have the fear of Jehovah and not believe him. You can't have the fear of Jehovah and not believe him. Those who say they believe in him and don't believe him don't fear him. And you know how I know a lot of people who claim the fear of God but don't fear him, don't believe him? You can look at their lifestyle. How can you be one who fear God and you do the things that you know God said that those who do these things will not inherit the kingdom? How can you say you fear him unless you don't? And so what do? You honor him with the lips. He says the whole nations, all of the nations under the whole heaven, they will hear reports of you. They shall tremble and be in anguish because of you. And if that was enough, in Deuteronomy 11:25, he says, "There shall no man be able to stand before you, for Jehovah your God shall lay the fear of you and the dread of you upon all the land that you shall tread upon, as he hath said unto you." And so we know that the children of Israel who followed Jehovah didn't believe him, because when it came down to them entering into the promised land, they said they couldn't do it. A little bit about that later. Joshua 2:10. "For we have heard," Rahab continues, "how Jehovah dried up the water of the Red Sea for you." Wow. They heard about that. When you came out of Egypt and what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites, they were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For Jehovah your God, notice what she said, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. This is her confession, according to Joshua, according to the two spies who told Joshua everything. But Joshua got to meet Rahab, got to meet Rahab's family. That's later, around chapter 6. Rahab negotiates with the spies for her and her family's protection and salvation, and calls the Israelites to make an oath to her. Now remember, only in the New Testament is salvation viewed as going to heaven, saved to go to heaven. Throughout the Bible, salvation, and especially in the New Testament, salvation is to be saved from danger, to be saved from harm, to be delivered, to be made whole. Verse 12, chapter 2. Now, therefore, I pray you, swear unto me by Jehovah, since I have shown you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house. And now give me a true token. In other words, you need to guarantee me swear. This word to swear, adjure, charge, to make an oath. To swear, take an oath. So swearing is the process by which they make the oath. They take the oath by swearing or putting the conditions of the oath in either verbal or written form. Verse 13, and that you will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. So she's saying, I don't only want you to save my mother, my brother, my sister, my father, but don't take their stuff. Because, you know, they know that when it's wartime, they're spoiled. And so he's saying, listen, everything y'all can get up in that house. this is some serious negotiation. I would have loved to have been in that room while this negotiation is going forward. And so what it boils down to, the oath, our lives for yours. You save us, we will save you. And you must keep the mission a secret. Verse 14. And so the men answered her, our life for yours, if you utter not this our business, and it shall be. Now think about this. Rahab could have gave them up. They wouldn't have made it out the city. Joshua wouldn't have known what would happen, what had happened. And either he would have had to go forth and attack anyway or send more spies. But the thing is that they were expecting them. They were watching for them. And when they showed up, they followed them and knew exactly where they were and where they had gone. But this woman had a bigger picture in mind. She knew. Here's what she knew. She knew the king was scared. She knew all the men of Jericho were scared. She knew the army was scared. And so she couldn't put her faith in her king. She couldn't put her faith in the army of Jericho or the men of Jericho. She decided that she was going to change teams. Sometimes you got to change teams, folks. Those of you who are out there in the world, sometimes you got to change teams because the world can't save you. The people you're hanging out with, they can't save you. They can't do nothing for you. And they may demonstrate they don't have a fear of God, but deep down inside, they do. Deep down inside, everybody asks themselves the questions. The question, what's going to happen to me after I die? What's going to happen to me? People ask this question, even those who don't believe in a God and they don't believe in a heaven and they don't believe in a hell, but they wonder, am I going to come back as a fish? or am I going to be reincarnated? Am I going to be eaten by worms in the ground? I mean, folks don't have the answer, and the Bible gives us the answers to these questions, but Rahab decides that she cannot put her faith in her king or the men of her city, so she changes sides and put her faith in God because she's confessed, we know that your God is the God of heaven and the God of earth, and if we're going to go with anybody, we're going to go with y'all. So she says, and the men answered her, our life for yours, if you order not this our business, and it shall be when Jehovah has given us the land. So they're talking in confidence that they're going to get the land and that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt up on the wall. So Rahab presents the spies now the strategy for their escape from the men she sent out to pursue them. Verse 16. And she said unto them, get you to the mountain, so she's pointing, lest the pursuers meet you. Don't go this way, go that way. And hide yourselves there for 3 days until the pursuers be returned. Because they're going to look for you, and it's going to take a while for them to look in all of the various places, and then when they come back, you may go your way. And the men said unto her, we will be blameless. In other words, everything we said we're going to do, we're going to do of this thine oath, which thou hast made us swear. So we took an oath, and we're going to keep our word to you. The oath here, Shabua, a oath, a testing of innocence, a curse, and it could be used as an oath or as once a curse as it has been used. Now, the conditions of the oath, and that's where the scarlet thread or cord in the window. Behold, when we come into the land, now we coming, you know we coming, when we come into the land, you shall bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down by, and you shall bring your father, your mother, your brethren, and all thy father's household home. So that lets us know that her father, brothers, and sisters lived somewhere else. She lived in this location. They now had to come to her house. Now, I would dare say that if the fear of Israel is in the king and in the men of the city, that the fear of Israel is also in the heart of her father, mother, sister, and brother, which means it would not be too difficult to convince them to move from where they were to come under the roof of the one who had the oath from the Israelites for their preservation. So now she's got to get them to come to her house and to bring all of their household with them. Everybody must be in the one house, and everyone in the house will be saved. No one is to leave out of the house. Verse 19. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the streets, his blood shall be upon his head. And we will be guiltless, and whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him. And basically, it's saying that, listen, y'all need to follow instructions. You need to follow instructions. Don't go outside. And this was the instruction that the Almighty told the children of Israel when it came down to, you know, the whole killing of the firstborn. Y'all stay indoors. Stay indoors. Everything you need better be in there. Because don't go outside. Because outside, there's going to be some serious warfare going on, and you don't want to be engaged in that. You're safe as long as you stay in the house. And so what we see that saved them is obedience. Obedience is what saves us. When we obey Father's instructions and we fear him because he is who he say he is, then we will experience or we will receive the rewards that come from obeying him. Blessings for obedience, curses for disobedience. It's that simple, folks. Blessings for obedience, curses for disobedience, and you can't straddle the fence. You're either in or you're out. You can't be lukewarm. So, and if you utter this our business, then we will be quit of thine oath, which thou hast made us to swear. In other words, if you don't keep your end of the oath we swore to uphold, we will be released from it. Basically, that's what they're saying. So the oath was agreed to by both parties. And she said, according to your words, so be it. Now, you got to understand something, brothers and sisters, and we'll get into this later on as we continue in Joshua, that what is happening in a room, in a house in Jericho, all of the army of Israel have to be informed that when we go into this city, every house is almost like the tree in the garden. Every house is to be pillaged, plundered, and whoever in there murdered, except this one house. This one house in the city of Jericho is not to be touched. No one is to touch this house. And here's how you're going to know. There's a scarlet cord hanging out the window. If you see that scarlet cord, don't touch the house. Don't go in the house. Don't affect anybody in that house, or your blood will be on us, or their blood will be on us. And she said, according unto your works, so be it. She said it. And she sent them away. Now they swore an oath, and she agreed to the conditions of the oath. And she sent them away, and they departed. And she bound the scarlet line in the window. Now, she didn't hesitate. She didn't hesitate. She bound the scarlet line in the window. Now, understand, she don't know how quickly they're coming back. But one thing's for sure, she told them to wait for 3 days, so it's going to be at least 3 days out. And they went and came unto the mountain. Now, they're following this harlot's instructions. Interesting. They went, came unto the mountain, and stayed there how many days? 3, just like she said, until the pursuers were returned. Now, it looks as if she knew the process of the pursuers. Now, something about I can't speak from experience, I can speak from knowledge and observation. Some of the most cunning and conniving individuals are prostitutes. Anyone who've ever witnessed, watched movies, seen how prostitutes operate, these have to be some fearless people. They get in the car with complete strangers. They don't know if they're axe murderers or serial killers. They talk money. There's always the opportunities for them to be robbed, to be beaten, to be taken advantage of. These are some individuals who they have experienced the kinds of things that many people would not be able to endure just from the things you see them go through. The fact that they could be arrested, put in jail, thrown in prison because of their craft, it's illegal, all the things that go along with that. Father forbid this kind of activity from being among his people. Again, other nations allow it. And now, you know, we have a city in our nation, in a state, more than one, where it seems to be legal. Father forbid it from being amongst the children of Israel. These individuals that make a deal with the prostitute are aware of Jehovah's laws. And when it comes down to them making a deal with a prostitute, an oath for that matter, they are now, what you don't see and what you will see over a period of time is that not only are they putting their faith in a prostitute, the prostitute is putting her faith in them. And it's going to pay off. So, they followed the instructions, they pursued, or the pursuers pursued them, they came back, the pursuers, and then, because they didn't find them, the pursuers, the spies went on their way. Verse 23. So the two men returned and descended from the mountain and passed over and came to Joshua, the son of Nun. Then they told him all things that had happened, that befell them. And they said unto Joshua, truly, Jehovah has delivered unto our hands all the land, for even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us. Now the words these spies say to Joshua, if you remember back, Joshua is saying this to the children of Israel. He's saying these words, and listen, let's not be afraid, let's go in. We can take them. God has given them to us. And here's the thing that I'm gonna take you back to a joyous time in Israel's history where they had seen the power of the Most High unlike anything they had ever seen. Joshua knew Jehovah intended to do this very thing 40 years earlier. So what these spies are saying to him now, I can imagine Joshua's thinking, and this is why, you know, they say you can't cry over spilt milk. What should have happened 40 years ago is about to happen. It's about to happen. Moses and the people declared these words and sang this song after the Red Sea crossing. Listen to the song, or some of the words in the song. They said, Exodus chapter 15. This is before Joshua is sent out as a representative of the house of Ephraim, along with the other 11 spies. This is the song these individuals sang. The people shall hear. In other words, you see what happened to Pharaoh. The people are going to hear about this, and they're going to be afraid. And sorrow shall take hold on the inhabitants of Palestina. Then the dukes of Edom shall be amazed. The mighty men of Moab, trembling, shall take hold upon them. All the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away. Fear and dread shall fall upon them. By the greatness of thine arms, they shall be as steel as a stone till thy people pass over, O Jehovah, to the people pass over which thou hast purchased. Thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance, in the place, O Jehovah, which thou hast made for thee to dwell in the sanctuary, O Jehovah, which thy hands have established. And you, Jehovah, shall reign forever and ever. This is the song the people sang when they came over that Red Sea. For the horse of Pharaoh went in with his chariots and with his horsemen into the sea, and Jehovah brought again the waters of the sea upon them. But the children of Israel went on dry land in the midst of the sea. Now they're going to fear themselves instead of allowing the fear that comes from Jehovah to overtake their enemies. Now understand something. When these children of Israel were wandering in the wilderness, and after this event at the Red Sea, the fear of Jehovah went before the people. And I can imagine that in Jericho, they're wondering, what took you so long? What took you so long? Because you remember, what did she say? I want to go back here just a moment. After she had hid them, let's see. In verse 10. For we have heard how Jehovah dried up the water of the Red Sea for you. Now she's talking to this, she's talking to these spies in her house 40 years later. She's talking about an incident 40 years ago. Are you hearing this? She's reciting the Red Sea crossing, which occurred 40 years ago, that put the fear of Jehovah in the heart of Jericho. And here it is 40 years later, the fear of Jehovah is still in their heart. This is powerful stuff, brothers and sisters. And the thing of it is that the fear of Jehovah is in the heart of the people when it comes down to the true people of Jehovah who fear him. You see, we all, when we walk in the fear of Jehovah in obedience to his word, can lay claim to this, that if Jehovah is for us, who can stand against us? If Jehovah is for us, who can stand against us? We have to know how to stand in him and then allow him to do what he does best, and that is fight for us. He fight our battles. And then the end result is they sang the song but didn't believe the words. They sang the song but didn't believe the words. It's like a lot of praise songs and worship songs, and people get excited when they sing and they sing and they get into a, work themselves in a frizzy because of the music and the song, singing and the dancing and all of that. And then when all that's said and done, are you walking in the truth of that word? Once the hype is over, once the excitement is over, and reality is right before you, are you standing on the truth of his word? See, they sang the song but did not believe the words. People believe in God but don't believe him. If he said he's going to do something, he's going to watch over his word and he's going to bring his word to pass. This you can count on. And when we get into Hebrews, we're going to see that Father don't lie. I mean, we know that already. That's immutable. That God don't lie. He don't say one thing and do something else. What he say he's going to do, he does it. The fear of Jehovah's people who fear Jehovah is still in the hearts of the nations. It's still in the hearts of the nations. You see, remember when Moses... When Pharaoh told Moses, when Pharaoh told Moses, take your people and go. And then he said, before you leave, pray me, bless me. That's the thing about, you know, you got a fella who said, who is this God that I should listen to? I don't know him. he ain't the boss of me. He can't tell me what to do. And in the end, Pharaoh ended up bowing, not physically, but based on his actions. He relented, he gave in, and he said, before y'all leave here, bless me. And that's the thing about the nations. See, there's a reason why people ask you to pray for them. There's a reason why people will come to you when they need to hear a word from God. People who don't fear God and don't know how to get a word from him, don't know how to get a prayer through, who they look for? They look for the people of God. They should be looking for us. Why? We should be demonstrating our fear of God, not in word, but in our lifestyle. We live like we fear him. We don't just sing and dance. We live like we fear him. And our lifestyle is going to be demonstrating that what he say don't do, we don't do. And what he say do, we do. Amen. The fear of Jehovah's people who fear Jehovah is still in the hearts of the nations. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for this study. We pray that those words that have stood out to us by your spirit that you drove home in our hearts, that we're able to hold on to them. In fact, we pray your hedge of protection of every word that has been sown in our heart. We decree the enemy will not be able to take these words from us, and that we will incorporate these words and we will stand on these words and we'll live by these words because we truly believe that as we walk in reverence, in fear of you, that the nations around us, the people around us, will experience that spirit, if you would, that your glory that surrounds us, your presence that is with us, your power that manifests in our midst, will cause the world around us to see us as your people, and that the fear that you have put in all the nations in the world, that they, Father, would be afraid to engage or to come at us in a way that is not appropriate because of the fear of you. Cause us to walk in that fear. Cause us to live in that place, that we may demonstrate in our lifestyle each and every day, all day long, that we are your people, and that the fear of you is in our heart and is demonstrated by how we live. Be glorified in us continuously, in Yeshua's name. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, we got through those verses. Next week, we'll continue on in chapter 3. At this particular point, we're going to give you an opportunity to give. For those of you who have yet to give your first fruits, you still have time to give your first fruits. You can give your first fruits on our website, arthurbaileyministries.com. If you are online and desire to share or give of your first fruits, you can certainly do that. Those of you who have tithe and offerings to give, you can give them on our website. All you got to do is go to arthurbaileyministries.com, go to the donate page, click that donate link. It'll bring you to this page, and then there are ways to give your first and third tithes and first fruits and offerings through Zelle, Venmo, Cash App, Bill Pay, checks of money order, and simply put in the memo line that is first fruits or first tithe or third tithe or offering or donation, however you're presenting it. Make sure you communicate that with us. And we, especially for those of you who are giving first fruits and a third tithe, make sure you use third tithe in the memo so that we can separate that out from regular tithes. You'll help us a great deal by making that distinction with your donation, because we need and have to keep those funds separate. They are designated funds, and we don't want them mingling with any other of the funds that come in. So please make sure that you designate your third tithe if you're giving third tithes as third tithes in the memo. Amen. Father, we thank you so much for those who support this ministry, those who support the work that you have given us to accomplish in the earth. We pray your blessings upon them, that none will lack as a result of their giving, but to the contrary, that the windows of heaven, the treasures of heaven, the blessings of heaven will manifest themselves in their midst, that you will guide them and direct them to your blessings, to your resources, and that you, Father, will not only bless us, but make us a blessing and show us who you will have us to be a blessing to. Be glorified in our giving. Be glorified in our living. In Messiah Yeshua. Amen. Amen. At this time, before we engage in Q&A, if they're Q&A, then we want to, we have a couple of announcements, a few announcements, and if you would give your attention to Minister Sean.
Hey, greetings, brethren. You know, as I promised you, well, since it's after sunset, today is the sixth, day six in our count up to Pentecost, and Pentecost will be Sunday, June the 8th. And we're just letting you know that we will again have brunch at 11 a.m. with our teaching at 1 p.m., and that's Eastern time. So please RSVP at arthurbaileyministries.com, at the feast toolbar, or from the banner in our emails. Hey, folks, we need some assistance. You know, I've heard people ask, well, how can I help? You know, what can I do to support the ministry? Do y'all need any assistance? We sure do. So there are two opportunities I'm going to tell you about right now that we really need your help in. The first is the audiovisual team. So for those with a desire to support the ministry's effort to get the word out to the ends of the earth, we need you. You don't need a technical degree, but being technically savvy is a plus. Just a willingness to assist would be greatly appreciated. The second area, and you can do this right from the comfort of your own home in your pajamas with a cup of coffee, and that's transcribing. We need some transcribers, brothers and sisters, who can transcribe our videos into books and ebooks. These digitized books help to spread the gospel of the kingdom to the ends of the earth. So either of these, or maybe even both, please let us know if you can support it by word of mouth if you're here, or by using the Contact Us form. Thank you very much. Tomorrow night, our Sabbath premiere is Blessings, Covenants, and Circumcisions, Part 2. And again, that's tomorrow night, Friday night, airing at 8 p.m. Eastern. And this coming Sabbath service, which will be live at 11 a.m. Eastern, will be continuing in our verse-by-verse study in the book of Hebrews in chapter 6. And the title is, Don't Lose Your Salvation. So if your belief happens to be once saved, always saved, you can't miss this exciting message. And with that, shalom, brethren.
Amen. So for those of you who are curious or want to know about our weekly broadcast, not only do we ask you to subscribe and we send it directly to your inbox, you can also go to our website, Arthur Bailey Ministries, and those who are watching on our website now, the Oath with the Prostitute there, you'll see the screen. But over to the right of that, you'll see Searching the Scriptures. This is the teaching for today. Tomorrow, Sabbath premiere, and then Sabbath, and it also has the dates there. So that change every week. And for those of you who have questions or prayer requests, and you may not necessarily be familiar with our website, over to the right of that screen, on my screen, you'll see this little blue chat box. If you click that, you can simply put your information in there. It'll bring you into our chat, and that's where you can ask your questions as well as submit your prayer requests. And then on the feast page is where you'll be able to RSVP for the day of Pentecost. We'll be removing Passover, first day of unleavened bread, and the early feast schedule. Although, while it's there, at the bottom of that schedule, you'll see the date in which Pentecost is. And that's when we'll be celebrating, but that will be no longer on the website here shortly. Anyway, that's how you can find out on our website. We try to make it easy so that all of the information you need is right there in front of you. And mostly everything is on the watch page. You can download our app, and there you'll also be able to get the information because we send it on our app. And every time we go live, you will be notified that we are live. And though we don't mention it much, however, in the opening of our services, our discipleship course, we encourage you to take advantage of it. Our leadership course is also there. And then down beneath, their ministers training course, ministers training 2, all of that is available and is absolutely free. It doesn't cost you anything to be equipped or to be discipled here at House of Israel and Arthur Bailey Ministries. So with that said, if there are any questions, we'll entertain them. Prayers, no questions, no prayers. So we'll bring this portion of our time together. We'll bring it to an end. And at this time, I will just simply pray for you anyway. Father, we just thank you for the time that you have given us in your word, the time that you've given us in fellowship. We thank you for all that has been said and done. We even pray, Father, continuously for those who will rise up to the call of volunteering, to volunteer with the AV team, to volunteer with the transcribing, and any other volunteer opportunities that arise. We know that not only are you raising up laborers for the harvest, but also raising up laborers who will work as ministers of help in the ministry. Father, we know that many hands make light work, and that the more that is trained and equipped and able to serve in these capacities will make it possible for others to take a break and have the opportunities that we also have available to us each and every service when we don't volunteer, and that is to enjoy the word, the message, to take notes, and to be focused and to have the fellowship. We know that those who serve in the capacities of AV, the audiovisual, are so focused on making sure that everything is running smooth as it should, and oftentimes don't have the luxury of being able to receive freely as others who are not having to focus on those things. So raise up laborers for the harvest, but also workers for the ministry. And we thank you for this, and we bless you, and we honor you. And as we go forward from this place, we pray your divine presence go with us, as we know you are always there with us. Help us to be mindful of that. We pray for every person who is experiencing aches in their bodies, every person that is experiencing any kind of pain, every person, Father, that is operating and having any kind of issues that is preventing them from being fully functional. We pray for healing, for deliverance, that you will set them free from every area that binds them. And we come against the spirit of fear, knowing that you have not given us the spirit of fear of men. But Father, we pray that you will increase those, the fear of you in our hearts, so that we will be a people who not only believe in you, but believe you and obey you all the days of our lives. And so bless you. Be glorified in us, in Yeshua's name. Amen. Receive your blessings. Jehovah bless you and keep you. Jehovah cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Jehovah lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you, brothers and sisters, for joining in with us. Remember, we can't do what we do without you. Your prayers and your support are not only needed, but greatly appreciated. We look forward to seeing you again soon. Remember, Sabbath premiere is tomorrow at 8 o'clock. Our Sabbath service is 11 a.m. on Saturday morning. And until Shabbat, Shalom. Shalom, saints. Tithing and giving first fruit offerings are critical parts of the believer's faith and has its foundation back in Genesis 4:4, when Abel brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And Jehovah had respect unto Abel and to his offering. Abel was commended by Jehovah in Hebrews 11:4, where it states that by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Solomon said in Proverbs 3:9-10, honor Jehovah with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall your barns be filled with plenty, and your presses shall burst out with new wine. The prophet Malachi wrote in chapter 3, verse 11 and 12, to bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, says Jehovah of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there should not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, says Jehovah of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith Jehovah of hosts. When we tithe and give offerings consistently in obedience to Jehovah's commandments, we can count on him to keep his promises to us and consistently meet all of our needs. It is our Father's desire to bless you. However, it begins with you and your act of obedience to tithe and give offerings. Do it today. Shalom.
For more information, visit www.arthurbaileyministries.com or call 888-899-1479. House of Israel International Services is made possible through financial contributions from brothers and sisters like you. Thank you.